Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live from New York, it's the show that is quite fond of Drake May. Drake May highlights.
You are now.
Turns out, this is the biggest sports day since the Super Bowl.
Wow.
2.5 NBA playoff games, Caitlin. Cavs Magic, and then the Caitlin. NFL draft.
Caitlin,
but that was one event. And everything going on, it's like a 7-hour sports extravaganza.
A great day.
12 hours if you start right now.
Today.
Oh, good take.
Hold on a second. Why does Vegas think Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers are drafting a quarterback tonight?
What?
Well, it's just Vegas. Nick is going to explain with his Vegas insiders. Meanwhile, should the Jets give Aaron Rodgers more weapons or more protection? Yeah. As they sit at 10, there's some old video of Rodgers. I'm looking forward to some new video of Rodgers.
I saw a new picture of Rodgers.
Oh?
The calf is coming along.
Oh, that's great.
It's coming along.
And finally, the most motivational segment in all of sports, a special expanded edition of the Bud Light.
How delightful.
Alongside Nick Wright, I'm Kevin Wilds. Brew, any surprises on the special expanded edition of the Bud Light?
It's draft heavy, and everyone's not an athlete.
Oh.
Or even a coach.
Are there more than three people on it?
A lot of people.
Yes.
Family.
Back to your roots. That's what I like to hear.
We're going to start with the Heat pulling off the upset in Boston. Miami comes in, goes 23 for 43 from three, wins by 10 to even the series. Here's Jaylen Brown on Miami's hot shooting night.
They play with pace, and they were, you know, making shots, guys, that we want shooting the ball, was hitting them. And, you know, we seemed to couldn't get them to miss. We thought they were decent closeouts, but no credit to those guys. They came out and they played fast, they played hard, and they had a record-breaking night.
Now, Jimmy posted a confusing meme here. Feeling cute, I might delete this later. Don't let us get one, which is what Jaylen Brown said last year in ode to what Kevin Millar said 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The Red Sox were up on the Red Sox were down 0-3. So yeah. Now all of a sudden Jimmy's in Jaylen's jersey. It's a little bit of a.
It wasn't that confusing.
It was very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty strange.
Why was Jimmy in Jaylen's jersey?
Because that was a picture of Jaylen Brown, who the quote was from.
Yeah.
And he took that screenshot and had his people put his face on it. It's not that confusing.
It felt like he did it himself.
The internet just confuses you.
Well, it's a 20-year-old
thing that was clear. Yeah. He watches the show.
He's feeling our show.
Cute.
Oh.
Feeling cute.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's
a different meme, guys.
No,
it's good. Let's just get to the show.
Brew, is your faith in the Celtics shaken?
No, because you guys know I have been lukewarm on the Celtics all year.
Yeah.
And now I think they'll win the East, and I still feel that way. They were my pick. But it's about a championship for them. They've won the East before. They've been to the conference finals before. They got to win a championship. And I've said it. Look, we think Denver's winning this series now against the Lakers. I think if the Lakers could win that series,
yeah.
I think they could beat Boston. I think whoever comes out of the West, assuming it's Denver, it won't be the Lakers. But I think there are teams in the West that could beat
Boston. I think Minnesota would beat Boston. I think
they show the mental toughness and maturity to get out of the
chances.
West. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't look at Boston as your typical 64-win team.
No.
I'm like, they are lucky the Eastern Conference is in shambles. Mm. All right, that's it. Now, they're a good team, don't get me wrong. But, no, my faith wasn't shaken. It's where it is. All right, and last night what happened was Miami, and this is what Miami does. They combine toughness. They're the tougher team, both mentally and physically, with three-point marksmanship. And that's what they did. And I know Jalen's like, hey, they were hot. What do you do? You know what, though? They get hot a lot against Boston.
That's weird.
In four of their last nine playoff games against each other, they've hit 50% of their threes.
That's odd.
Like, it could happen. The numbers tell us it will happen again in this series. And so that's the thing. And I wish I had thought of this before. I would have told Ketta. You know what the Celtics are?
Oh, no.
They some breakdowns.
Oh, no.
They're a finesse. Under Joe Mazzulla, they're a finesse.
Oh, see, this is what I was waiting for. You're putting a lot of this on the coach.
Yeah. Look, they weren't a finesse team under Ime Udoka.
No.
They were tough. They were hard-nosed. They just ran into an experienced Golden State team. Hmm. That if they don't get out of the East, this is on Mazzulla. And look, Porzingis they guard him with Caleb Martin.
Yeah.
Porzingis couldn't get any shots in the paint for the most part. That's on him. But again, he's a finesse player.
Okay, of course. Of course you have to lose some faith.
Mm-hmm.
This was, by a point spread standpoint, the biggest upset in the NBA playoffs since the 2019 Pat Bev Lou Williams Clippers. Beat the Warriors in that game that then led Kevin Durant to say, I'm Kevin Durant. Do you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. Yeah. So it's the biggest upset in the playoffs in 5 years. And it's a terrible loss that also Mazzulla and Jaylen Brown misdiagnosed after. When they say, oh, they were hitting tough shots, we had good closeouts. By the tracking data, 23 of those 43 three-point attempts were classified as wide open. So no one within 5 feet. So, yes.
They happened to make 23 of them.
And they obviously, all 23 were in the makes. But what I'm saying is more than half of the three-point attempts were wide open. And so, yes, it was a hot shooting night, but it wasn't because of nothing Boston did. And I agree with you, Brew, that they're – for Boston, anything short of a championship this year is going to be a disappointment.
Yeah, and he doesn't get fired if they get to the finals.
Correct. But and I would even say anything getting to the finals and losing to Denver, I don't even know if people will look at that as anything other than, Denver's the team right now.
That's right.
But losses like this do make me question if they're going to be playing in the finals. Because I don't think they're going to lose to Miami in the series, and I don't think they're going to lose to Cleveland in the next series. But in those conference finals, you will either be playing, in my opinion, with respect to the Pacers, a Milwaukee team that will have Giannis back.
Right.
A Philly team that at that point will have Embiid must be healthier, right, and they will be rolling. Or a Knicks team that is
like Miami,
but without its best player injured.
Yep.
And a loss like last night, Wilds, makes me feel like, man, oh, man, are the Celtics lucky that Jimmy Butler got hurt.
Oh.
And that would have been the second straight year that an 8-seed Miami against a 1-seed Boston either gave them trouble or, you know, beat them. Or I guess Boston was the 1 last year, pardon me. But an 8-seed Miami beat them in the
right.
Boston was the 2 last year. So, like, that's an awful loss. I don't know
and
that
it
we'll
takes
have...
away. I agree with you. They're going to win the series. Mm-hmm. But they lost home court advantage, too. Like, there are tangible and practical losses that they had last night, too. Yes. Not just kind of psychological. Yes.
Okay, so here are the deeper dig on the numbers, Brew, on Heat from three and how hot they were. Third highest percentage on 40 attempts or more in playoff history. So we all know this. Here's the weird thing. Celtics, great at home during the regular season. And now we're at the last 3 years, they're 12-13 at home. A lot of these are weird losses. A lot of them are Heat losses. What do you make of this?
The 10-point losses is crazy if you look at that number. Over three years in 133 games, they have 6 double-digit losses. And then in 3 years and 25 playoff games, 6 double-digit losses. That's crazy.
What do you make
of that? I've got to look at my best players. Particularly the guys who have the ball in their hands at the end of the game, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Now, you guys know I love Jason Tatum. I was pushing for him to be in club superstar before he was in it, and he is a superstar. But he has not been clutch. And in the playoffs, like, obviously you had some blowout losses, but in the playoffs, the games are generally going to be close. And so what is your execution like? Mm-hmm. And what are your two main guys like? Do they have ice in their veins or not? And they can have a tendency, too, to be too much ISO, isolation basketball, and that's an issue, too.
I'm going to bring up two other quick points. One is the big difference between this year's Celtics and last year's Celtics are the player acquisitions, right? Drew Holiday is one of my favorite players. Post-championship, he obviously had a rough couple postseasons, mm-hmm. and then we'll see this one. Kristaps has no postseason resume whatsoever. He has one really good playoff game in his career. He had only played in 10 playoff games prior to this series. And so leaning on him a ton could be problematic.
He's a critical part of their team.
100%. But he's a playoff unknown. But the last point I'll make is this. Everything, and this is one of the things I love about sports and I love about the NBA playoffs, everything has a cost. So we are going to see over the next 2 months, guys, I'm not even necessarily talking about stars, but a fourth guy or a fifth guy, a guy like Grayson Allen for Phoenix. Oh, he turned his ankle. He's out a week. He's out. When you, as I guess the common parlance now is play with your food, when you allow these series to extend, things can happen.
It's true.
And then it's less of a like, oh, you got unlucky, you dealt with an injury. If somebody from Boston gets dinged in a game 6 against Miami, that's this game's fault. If that, you know what I mean? And if you're trying to win a championship, all of that stuff has to matter.
This is going
to
be a tough series.
Yeah. I think at this point it's going to go 6. Do you think Boston's going to win the next 3?
You think 5?
You think they're going to win both in Miami? I
think
it'll
just be like the Denver series. They split at home, and it's like, all right, let's go and take care of business.
Yeah.
Denver's better than Boston. Okay.
I know, but on paper, 4-1. The Spoelstra gets one. That's what he does.
He's a terrific
coach.
Head to L.A. where the Nuggets are looking for their 11th straight victory over the Lakers. Two pieces of sound here, Brew. First, we've got Darvin Ham reacting to AD's remark that the Lakers have confusing stretches of play that they don't know what's going on. And then a sneaky diss from Mike Malone. Michael Malone. I'm sorry, Michael. Take a listen.
I have incredibly talented coaches all along my staff, and we pride ourselves, whether it's a practice, a shoot around, a film session, a game, whatever, we pride ourselves on being, you know, highly efficient and organized. And so I just chalk that up to being frustrated. You know, it's an emotional game and the way it ended and all of that, but you know, I'll agree to disagree on that one.
We've gone over our game plan and we've gone over adjustments for a lot of different players and play calls that we haven't even had to show yet.
Okay. Here's the deal. I apologize because I don't want to be unfair. But the Lakers, if you watch them night in, night out, they're obviously not a well-coached team. And I feel that I think it's tangible. I think you can see it. And I think that we have no problem saying in the series we just watched or we just talked about, that is a coaching mismatch. That is Eric Spoelstra, Joe Mazzulla, and Joe Mazzulla is in his second year as a head coach who got to a conference finals last year, potentially coaching for his job in this postseason. But because I feel like in the media at large, there's a little bit of a Calvin ball when it comes to what we are and aren't allowed to criticize when it comes to LeBron James coaches, right? It's like, oh, okay. You can't criticize Frank Vogel because he won a championship. So that's a weird thing, right? Because he won a championship, in my opinion, because of LeBron's greatness. So now in AD. So now he's uncriticizable. But now he's in Phoenix, and he's going to get fired here in about 10 days. And everyone's fine with it.
Trying to be fresh, but I don't understand what you're saying.
So
when Vogel got criticized. That's the thing. LeBron's coaches get criticized.
Correct. And then I think when it comes to when we have talked about Frank Vogel on this show, it has been, you wanted more from Frank Vogel? What do you want? He won a championship. LeBron wanted him to get his, exactly. That's
he
your
more
take.
Respect.
That's your take. Right. I don't think he was very good. I don't think he was good in Orlando. I don't think he was good in Los Angeles. They won a championship despite it. I don't think he's done a good job.
He was great in Indiana.
In Phoenix. He was great in Indiana, first stop. I don't think Darvin Ham's done a good job. I don't think anyone can point to anything that he's done a good job. Now, would that change this series? I don't know. I know the last game literally was as close as it possibly could have been. And we think Mike Malone's an excellent coach. So do I think the Lakers are frustrated? Yes. Do I think that they are right now at a massive coaching deficit, similar to what we're dealing with in Miami-Boston? I do. Do I think people are hesitant to that because they think it's like protecting LeBron? Yeah, that's what I think.
But so, he's getting criticized.
Yeah.
Ham is on the hot seat.
So you agree he's on the hot seat?
I'm not saying he should be, but he's being scapegoated.
So, but is it a scapegoat if you're the problem?
Was he a bad coach when they won the in-season tournament? Was he a bad coach when they were up 20?
So this is my point. Do you see what I'm saying? No, I'm asking.
Well, yeah, but I got confused about the Vogel stuff because you're saying Vogel was a mediocre coach, but LeBron and AD's greatness were able to overcome it. Mm-hmm. Now, Darvin Ham's a mediocre coach, but
might be worse.
No, might be worse, and they're not able to overcome it.
Yeah, they're older and it's a harder opponent.
LeBron is an awesome, obviously, player. When he wins, it's LeBron's credit. When he doesn't, his teammates and his coaches get blamed. We have seen that time and time again.
Except, I guess,
every stop.
Spoelstra
was being criticized when he was in Miami.
So I disagree with that. Spoelstra, LeBron's first year there, LeBron and Wade went to Riley and complained about Spoelstra. And then Riley said no. And now Spoelstra is universally recognized. As a great coach.
He wasn't then.
In the moment, like, I think by
the
end of the run.
Was he doing something wrong?
He wasn't. Spoelstra wasn't scapegoated for them losing the fourth finals. No, he wasn't.
No, I'm talking about the first year. They wanted. Spoelstra was getting criticized. Was he not a good coach? Now, obviously, he's a better coach.
Better coach now.
But my point is this, all right? Michael Malone is a great coach.
Yes.
He's up there with Spoelstra.
I agree.
So they do have a coaching advantage.
Yes.
But I want to address Anthony Davis.
Oh, wow.
What he said. We didn't know what we were doing, okay, out there at times. That is making an excuse. That is passing the buck. That is looking for a scapegoat, and that is not the mentality that's going to get you back in this series.
Yeah.
Right?
You're blaming the refs.
Yes, right. Look in the mirror, because Anthony – I know what you were doing. Nothing. In the fourth quarter, you were doing nothing. You played 10 minutes, 9 minutes, 55 seconds to be exact. You took one shot. Did you take one shot? You got one rebound. You had 0 points. But that's Darvin Ham's fault. You have the clout, my man, to say, give me the ball. I've been killing these dudes for 2 quarters. Give me the ball. You didn't do that. You know what happened? Aaron Gordon muscled you up. We know you don't like physical play. Gordon muscled you up, and you were looking for Darvin or Phil Handy or somebody to give you some advice. What can I do with this dude?
That's what the coaches are for.
That's their job.
Well,
okay, if they didn't tell you, I'm going to tell you.
Okay, well, you worry with you.
Anthony, I'm going to tell you. Big boy him.
Okay.
What does Chris mean by big boy him?
I don't know.
The same thing Nikola Jokic did to you.
Okay, that's
all right. When it was time in the fourth quarter for a bucket, he backed you down and put a bucket over you while being fouled, if I'm not mistaken. That's what you need to do to Aaron Gordon because he's smaller than you. Is that enough?
Okay,
is that somebody telling you what to do?
Okay, Brew, can I tell you something? As someone who's watched 70 Lakers games this year, I wish you were the coach. You've sold me on it. Now maybe I didn't explain it properly.
No, I get it.
But I think Brew's response to me was kind of the frustration part. It's like whenever they succeed, it is used as evidence that's a good coach. But by that same logic, then when they fail, it has to. Then is that evidence it's a bad coach, or can we evaluate it and look at it?
Yeah.
Just like we are with Mazzulla versus Spoelstra, and we think that is a big deficit. Just like Mazzulla,
you know,
whose resume right now looks great, but you are saying is on the hot seat.
You know why we think it's with Mazzulla?
What?
It's not because the analytics kings out there love Mazzulla. Mm-hmm. I mean, you listen to them, and oh my gosh, this team is historically great.
Right.
They're awesome,
sure.
Right?
Yeah,
you know why we look at Joe, at least me, Joe Mazzulla, and say you should be on the hot seat? Because you were in the finals the year before you got there, and now we're going back.
Yes, and the Lakers,
I
the year
coaches,
before that, you know, won the championship.
You know how I judge coaches? Results.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and tell an NBA coach they don't know what they're doing because they know the X's and O's.
I didn't
better
say,
than me. I'm judging you by results.
Okay, and I think the Lakers have underachieved.
Love it.
I think the Lakers have underachieved this year.
They might be the second best team in the league. They're just playing the first best team.
Okay, maybe so. And I think in the margins, I think that, And we didn't talk about it the day after because I knew the reaction would be, it would be an allergic reaction to it. But I think the biggest in game two, the biggest difference between the two teams was the coaches in a game that came down to the final moments. That's
what about
I felt.
When they were up 20? Yeah. Serious. Was Ham doing a bad job?
No, what I am saying is no.
I'm just asking.
But when they were tearing away at the lead, when they were had their fourth quarter runs, when you're going home with timeouts in your pocket, yes, that is part of coaching.
Can LeBron say, you know what? No, we're not running that. We're just AD. No, let's do this.
Yes, you're
he
right.
He has the clout to do that.
Of course, I agree with that. That yes, LeBron could. Overrule him. There are things that one can do. Yeah. But that is then overcoming your own coaching, right? If you have to then be like, God dog it, I got to do this too. That's overcoming. Now, we've seen, you're right, LeBron did it. He overruled David Blatt famously. But that was another one. I'll use that as an example.
He probably overruled
David Blatt. It's like, what do you want from David Blatt? Got to the finals, you have the best record. And the answer was, he wasn't a good coach in the NBA. I think he was a good coach. I mean, and to me, there's proof in that he's never come back. Like, I don't think it's a well-coached
team. He was a different, I think, different to him.
Oh,
he had no NBA.
We have a special alarm that I'm, you were totally unaware of it. I'm somewhat aware of it.
Well, we were supposed to just do basketball here. Yeah. However, on Monday, we had mock draft 4.0.
Oh, a breaking news thing.
We had the official mock draft 4.0. However, I have gotten furious intel from Las Vegas and... You guys know who it is, but don't reveal. My most trusted NFL source that has made me flip one top five pick. So that was mock draft 4.0 that I promised was going to be the most accurate in the media. We have one adjustment right under the wire. Show the adjustment. Jaden 2,
so
Drake
May 3. 4.1 for the record.
Okay, well, that, you know what? Talk to the graphics department, but that's fine. So everything else remains the same, 1 through 32.
Okay,
but now Jaden has gone from even money to minus 1,000 to be the second overall pick.
Yep.
There is an element of Cliff Kingsbury coached Patrick Mahomes. He coached Caleb Williams. He's the offensive coordinator. Is he going to have a say? And a lot of the speculation about what the Patriots are or aren't going to do is centered around Drake May being available at 3. Ooh. So for all those reasons... This is the adjustment to mock draft 4.0. Wilds, you've been all in on Jaden, but I feel like part of that was because you didn't even get into Drake May because you were certain he was going to go
I'm going to fall in line.
Now you like Drake.
Just to speak your language, what size collar is Drake May wearing there?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That looks like a 19 and a half, dude.
Yeah. What? Okay. And unlike Jaden Daniels, who I think is a millennial, Drake May is a Zoomer generation. Yeah, young guy.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Nick, I could have told you this.
Okay.
I've been saying Washington's got to take Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, yes.
Jaden Daniels. Yes. Like he's I like him better than Drake May. And, look, he doesn't want to go there. We've seen all that, right? But he hasn't said I'm not playing for
Correct.
Him.
No, he's
right?
not going to.
He's just – I'm fine with a player having their preferences. He hasn't been drafted
and
yet.
Maybe
– But once he gets there, I think he'll, you know, he'll be a professional.
It was odd to go there if you're, like, really trying to court someone. Like, you know what? Group
but
date,
also, Drew, sometimes you're like, I don't want to go to this restaurant. And then people tell you the restaurant alternative, and you're like, okay, I'll go to the first one. So maybe he's like, I don't want to go to Washington. They're like, then you're going to New England. He's like, it's Washington, D.C.
First of all,
sign me up.
There's zero chance of that. There's zero chance you want to go to Washington besides
really?
To the team of the century.
No, I'm not sure. Look. Who's got the best receiver of the two teams?
Yeah, best two receivers.
Terry McLaurin.
Is the draft over?
The best running back? Best running
still
back?
Still demanding a trade?
I don't know. No, Washington, you're in a better position to succeed.
The proven coach, Dan Quinn. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just saying.
What?
Okay. He's not more proven than
Gerard Mayo.
Okay, Dan Quinn. Yeah, go to war with Dan Quinn. Great guy.
I will.
Nice.
And Cliff Kingsbury, who I think will be a better OC than HC.
You love going to Super Bowls.
He's That's in a good
Dan
situation.
Come on. Come on. He did.
This is Harbaugh. I mean, this is not going to happen.
It could.
It's not.
It could.
But we're going to discuss it. Harbaugh drafting JJ.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Welcome back to a draft day show. Some odd movement out of Vegas and L.A. that saw the Chargers' chances of drafting a quarterback go from 100-1 to 6-1. Nick, what do you make of this shift? And do we really think the Chargers are drafting Herbert's replacement?
Okay, coach Mangini here, by the way. Hi, Coach. So let me kind of be the, you know, on-site gambling expert slash degenerate and explain what's going on here. So a couple things. One is, clearly there was some real money placed at 100-1, and so they wanted to lower the odds to lower your exposure. But then the money kept coming in, so why would the money come in? There is a scenario that exists where the Chargers are sitting at 5, and, for instance, the Broncos want to trade up from 12 and the Vikings want to trade up for 11. They're going back and forth getting the best bids, and the clock is ticking. They're like, you know what? This is going to keep going up, and they draft him only to then trade him a half hour later. Like that. So that's why I think the odds dropped from 100-1 down to where they are now to protect themselves from it. Do I think there is a real scenario that Justin Herbert's not the quarterback there next year? I do not. What I want to ask you is this, though, Coach. Even though the dead money hit would be Russell Wilson-esque, if Jim Harbaugh believes what he said, that J.J. McCarthy's the best quarterback in the draft, and you have the opportunity to draft him and then trade Justin Herbert for 4 first-round picks from Minnesota, the 11, the 23, and their next 2 firsts, which is what you would get. If Jim Harbaugh really believes that J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in this draft and you get him for nothing for 5 years and you get 4 first-round picks for this guy, that's a move you would make. I don't think he actually believes J.J. is the best quarterback in the draft and this is all smoke to help his guy. But if you believed that, then you would do that because you would get such a return and reset the
finance. Yeah, look, I absolutely believe from just a drafting a quarterback perspective, if it's any quarterback, yeah, that the Easton Stick is the backup, so you could go get a quarterback. But if we're talking about J.J. McCarthy, I'm with you. If he really believes that J.J. McCarthy is a franchise quarterback and you could move on and deal with the cap hit on Justin Herbert and get a load of picks to set up your future, I could definitely see Jim doing that. And Jim used to say when we were at San Francisco, I'm sure he said it in Michigan, we're the San Francisco 49ers. We can do whatever we want. And what he meant by that is we're not bound by conventional wisdom, by what everybody else in the league thinks. We're going to do what we think is right, and we're going to take chances that other people wouldn't. So for him to do something that the rest of the league would look at and say, how could you do it? That doesn't bother Jim at all. And to me, that's what makes Jim different than a lot of other guys, is because he's willing to take chances that other people will not take.
Wow.
Well, saying we're the Niners, I assume that was based on their past history when they were winning a lot of championships, even though he wasn't there.
No, it was
there,
one
right?
of the first meetings I was in. It was an offensive meeting. We were talking about a scheme that was a little bit different, and it kind of came up, and Jim's like, hey, we're the San Francisco 49ers. We can do whatever we want. But the thought, it doesn't matter what the Cowboys are doing. It doesn't matter what the Patriots are doing. We're going to do what we think we should do, regardless of conventional wisdom. And one of the things that kills the NFL and kills a lot of pro sports teams is groupthink.
Copycat,
and
right.
He's not buying into that.
And what you guys said makes sense. If he really believes in McCarthy like that, then sure, reset yourself financially. He let so many people go this offseason that makes sense. I'm just saying Justin Herbert is proven. Now, how high he can go?
What has he proven?
He's proven that he's a great individual quarterback. Now, I have questions. You guys have heard me say, I wonder about his intangibles. Not his toughness, because he's played through injuries.
Yeah.
But as far as leadership, poise, things like, I'll admit those are questions. But and he's declined a little the last 2 years, but I think that's been bad coaching, in my opinion, and putting him in the wrong position.
Can I put a point on what you're saying? Yeah. To Bruce's point, there is no list of quarterbacks you could make in the NFL where Herbert's not in the top eight.
Well, what
There's
about
not.
Quarterback wins, playoff wins?
The Wilds, you even as skeptical as you may be, I guarantee if we did the exercise right now, you would not name eight quarterbacks you like more than Justin Herbert.
Okay, keep talking. I'm going
to ahead.
That's the thing. Herbert is proven to some degree. J.J. McCarthy is not. And Coach, you know, there is no sure thing at quarterback. Now, there are guys we think we're almost sure. Sure, he's definitely. But there's no sure thing. And J.J. McCarthy is definitely not a sure thing. So I would stick with Herbert. Now, they could draft a great receiver at number five, a lineman at number five. They need all of that. And, but if they can maximize it, I get it.
And he did do a great job with Alex Smith when he came into the 49ers, who had underachieved at that point and got a lot more out of him than a lot of people thought he
had. I think he'll help Herbert. I think he'll definitely help Herbert.
Let's hear him, Wilds.
Mahomes, Lamar.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Stafford.
Sure.
Dak.
You've got Dak?
Yeah.
Okay. That's surprising.
Well, he's won one playoff game.
He's won two, actually.
Well, he's more than one.
Two and what, five?
Go ahead.
Six.
Burrow?
Yeah.
Stroud?
Sure.
Purdy?
Purdy doesn't.
I don't know.
Purdy's successful.
Say the Prince.
No, he wouldn't say the Prince. No, but here's the thing. He wouldn't say the Prince because Wilds really values Herbert's playoff resume, except for the fact that the Prince beat him and he doesn't care.
Like Jalen Hurts as well.
Is this actually what you think? You don't think Herbert, who I think we are as a show more skeptical of than most shows, you don't think he's a top 10 quarterback now?
No, I think he's a very good quarterback, but I named 10 guys.
That you think are better?
Yeah, I mean, can I win a playoff game?
Is that like,
you think Dak
is like a bad guy for saying win a playoff game?
How's the coaching been there?
I mean, he's
a great quarterback.
He's 0-1 in the playoffs.
Yeah. Does he bear any responsibility for that?
Okay.
His third head coach now?
This is his third head
coach.
Is
it third?
If you got, listen,
this will be
I think
usually
some of the football hip guys,
okay,
I can't believe I'm the one saying this. I think the football hipsters are a little too high on Justin Herbert. But trying to create a world where he's not top 10 in the NFL.
Okay, who is he better than I just named?
Give Dak Prescott? He's definitively better than Dak. He is definitively better than Brock
Purdy. You just had Dak as the MVP. Last year you had Dak as the MVP.
Sweet Christ, man. Yes, someone can have a better season.
Okay.
And not be better than the guy. Wilds, who was your NBA MVP last year? I think it was Joel Embiid. Is he the best player in the league in perpetuity? Or did he have the best season?
No, but he's always in that discussion.
Okay, you and
the
Drew,
MVPs are
you had Brock Purdy in the MVP conversation ahead of Patrick Mahomes this year. Does that mean next year if you have Mahomes ahead of him that your MVP thing's wrong?
I'm saying named 10 guys.
Yeah,
you have to have him.
The guys you named was Jared Goff. I didn't even address it. If you think Jared Goff's better than Justin Herbert, you're just out of the mainstream.
I saw Jared Goff in the Super Bowl and he might make it to the Super Bowl this year.
These are arguable. It's arguable. Because I think golf is underrated.
Guys,
I like Herbert, but I'm just saying.
Can win some games? Why am I the bad guy? That's like an
esoteric
concept.
But he's had a lot of things working against him.
Then overcome them if you're so great.
He's not there yet.
Then he's not. Jalen Hurts has a lot of things to overcome, too. And he gets out there playing on one knee in the Super Bowl.
Kevin's point, usually great quarterbacks come in, and whoever the coach is ends up coaching there for a long time.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
Trevor Lawrence.
You told me to name him. I named him.
No, but I'm just shocked you actually believe this, and you're getting mad at me. I'm shocked that you think the following people, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, and Jared Goff, are better than Justin Herbert. I'm shocked by that. I think that is a wild take. That's all. It's okay to disagree. I think that is a wild take. I don't even know what this scribble is down here, but that's probably
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't think Jalen Hurts is better than Justin Herbert. I understand Jalen Hurts won two playoff games. I get
Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And Justin Herbert had a 20. How big was the lead that they can't hold on to?
28, 27, something like that.
Okay.
You want win, you like again. W's. I get it.
I mean, I know it's
Justin
I know it's a
Herbert
weird thing.
Is nice.
I'm a fool. Win football
that
games.
Was
My
cute.
God.
But Justin Herbert's nice. Admit it.
I'm blown away.
I'm flabbergasted.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Bengals drafting at 18 tonight as they look to add to their team. On the flip side, two players looking to leave the team. T. Higgins asked for a trade in March. He recently said, like, hey, by the way, that's still standing. I still want out of here. And defensive end Trey Hendrickson said, by the way, I want out too. Nick, negotiating tactic or are the Bengals in real trouble?
Well, I don't know. Who are the best players on their team last year? Let's talk about it. Running back's gone. Joe Mixon. Brew loves him. Hendrickson had 17 and a half sacks. He's just got $21 million extension a year ago. He's unhappy. He's like, and I read today he is he might go back to the Bengals. He has demanded the trade and he's considering retirement. So we call this
I'm sure that retirement.
The right, full right. list.
We're all worried
the
about him retiring.
List of options.
okay,
T. Higgins doesn't want to be there because they don't want to pay him. I thought that Browning was quite good last year, but he's their backup quarterback because Joe Burrow's coming back, thankfully. Yeah, I like Browning. I thought he played well as a backup quarterback. Listen, good thing you've built a roster to beat Kansas City. Bad thing you're not going to get an opportunity to beat them in the playoffs for a few years now. Like this team's...
What, but here's the
what?
Thing.
What?
No, they're not... They're in trouble, but not for that. So what T. Higgins requested a trade? Guess what he said 2 weeks ago? I expect to be back in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's what he said. All right? So what Trey Hendrickson requested a trade? The Bengals have said we have no interest in trading him. If Trey Hendrickson and Higgins want the big bag, what are they going to have to do? Go back to Cincinnati and play their butts off. It behooves them to have the best season of their career. And they'll be fine. Now, I think Cincinnati, I'm not going to say in trouble, but I think they got a tough road ahead of them because of the division, but not because these two guys have requested
but
trades.
Do you remember all the years where everybody wanted out of Cincinnati because it was so bad and it was so poorly run and they didn't have any good guys and it went on and on. Now they're in a situation where they've got to pay a lot of people because they're a good team, and that's a much better, that's a high-class problem. So T. Higgins is getting $21 million in the franchise tag. That's terrible. I mean, I'm sure, you know.
He wants a long-term deal.
Yeah, we all want a long-term deal, but that's not the situation. That's what he's got. And then with the other situation, you go in, you ask for an extension, you get a $21 million one-year extension, and I'm sure he said, and then I'll be happy. And then the next year, you walk in, you're like, hey, I'm not happy.
He had 17
again.
And a half
I
sacks.
I want some more money. Okay, well talk to your agent. They can't even renegotiate the contract by league rules for another 3 months.
No, but they could give him more years on the back end. There's things they can't renegotiate
okay,
it. That's true.
But I've been through that situation. When I first got to the Jets, guy came in and said, I'm unhappy with my contract. And I said, okay, well, we'll look at it. So we talked about it. We gave him a little bit more money. And he said, oh, I'm so happy. And the next year, guess what he did?
Yeah.
I'm unhappy
that's
with my contract.
That's the business. And just like the team, can sign him to an extension. Instead of having 17 and a half sacks, he had 0.5 sacks.
Maybe his
they would have cut him.
Ask for that, a long-term deal when they're willing to do it.
The most, to me, interesting thing Coach said there was, remember when Cincinnati, nobody wanted to play there because they didn't think they were well-run, they didn't pay their guys? Yeah, I remember that.
No,
evidently,
I didn't
that's
say
because
they didn't
morning.
Pay their guys.
Evidently,
I
that's
said,
today.
I said
because
they
two of their best players
pay.
Have demanded trades
they're
because
not going
they haven't gotten extensions. So, yes, I remember all
they're
the way back when that
nowhere.
Happened I'm sure, this morning.
I'm sure he's going to retire.
Okay, I'm not going to retire.
Jonah Williams
requested to retire too.
The whole season.
And now he's gone, and they're still looking for Cagwell.
Be gone in the future.
Okay. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Budless. He's still talking about Justin Herbert, guys.
Coming up. 11.
He's not going
what about Baker?
I like Baker.
Baker's got a lot of playoff wins.
He's got two.
Yeah.
Twice as, not an infinite amount more than Justin Herbert.
Draft is 4 hours and 12 minutes away, which means it's time for a new definitive segment called Must Draft. It's kind of like Must Win, but it's about drafting. First up, the Jets. Really a question of protection versus weapons. Nick's Mach 4.1 has the Jets grabbing Brock Bowers from Georgia. Rich Cimini reporting they might move up to try to grab Neighbors or Adunze.
They might.
I know. I know.
Get him another weapon.
Brew, do you want to go first here? The Jets must draft who?
Yeah, look, for the last few weeks, I've been getting more protection. In fact, I think on Monday, I said protection, protection, protection. But then it dawned on me. It's right there in front of my face. They're all in. Not like Jerry Jones all in. Okay. I mean, they're all in. This is it. My quarterback's 40. We got to win it this year. Go as far as we can. And when I think about Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams and Breece Hall and Brock Bowers, okay, well, that is a talented bunch for Aaron Rodgers to throw the football to. So go get Bowers.
Okay.
Man, I hate to agree with Nick, but I looked at this and I thought, okay, what is Aaron Rodgers want? What is he like? And he's going to want a weapon. They brought in three offensive linemen. So I went back, and if we could pull it up, I looked at what Aaron said about 12 personnel, which is a two tight end set. So they've got Tyler Conklin. This is what he said. I had to go back to 2017. But this gives you balance from an offensive perspective. So from a running game, you can go right, you can go left. It gives you some extra protection options. So there's real value to it. He's liked it historically, so I could see him signing off on that. And then with Nate Hackett, he's been about a 30% 12 guy, which is, again, a two tight end set. So there's probably buy-in there as well. And I see that as being probably their best option, seeing that they've addressed some of the offensive line needs here in free agency.
They obviously should draft a tackle because they have aging offensive linemen. And while because they're all in on Rodgers, you can't risk your season going to hell because Tyron Smith misses his annual month of the season or whomever else. Where they're drafting, they should be able to take the second tackle off the board in one of the deepest tackle drafts ever. But I would be shocked if they do that. I think if they stay there, they will draft Bowers. And there is a chance they mortgage next year's first because what does Joe Douglas care? Because if it doesn't work out, that's not his problem anyway.
Like
to move up to draft Neighbors or Marvin Harrison or Adunze. Yeah. I think that's all. I think they are more likely to move up and get a wide receiver than they are to stay and draft a tackle. But Bowers is going to be the pick as mock draft 4.1.
Okay. Head to Dallas where the Cowboys have the 24th pick. Now, Mock Draft 4.1 has tackle Graham Barton out of Duke. So, Brew, you're on the clock with the 24th overall pick.
Well, they need offensive line help. Absolutely. I know later on, Mike McCarthy, you can get your running back. Olu Fashanu, Penn State.
Oh, that's what I'm going with. That's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that the Dallas should probably trade back. If they've got a group of players, this is a pretty deep draft in terms of offensive linemen, centers. We know they need a left tackle. We know they need a center. We know they need a running back, and probably those running backs are more second-round picks than first-round picks. So if you could trade back and you had a block of guys that you liked, then you can go get two out of those three needs as opposed to just the one. If they do stay there, I like the Barton pick because he's played left tackle, but a lot of people will project
put him in center
to play center.
That's
as well. Right. And so you've got the flexibility to move him around, see where he fits best, and see where the other pieces fit as well.
Coach has been studying mock draft. Again.
But I'd much rather they trade back and get two picks.
Listen, the reason Barton to me is the pick if he's there is because of the versatility. Like he's played left tackle, as Coach said, but he projects more interior in the pros. But that could answer, you know, your questions depending on the rest of the draft falls. The funniest thing they could do is draft Michael Penix. And that is also maybe the most interesting thing they could do. If they're not giving Dak the extension, saying, you know what, one last hurrah, but we are going to be covered at that position if this guy, who some people think is the third best quarterback in the class, if he gets past the Raiders Coach loves him.
Really?
I think that's a...
Can Trey Lance throw the ball?
I don't know, man.
I mean, like, can we give Trey Lance a shot? Like, does he even...
Well, I mean, if they, I don't know. Nobody's seen him play. So, but I'm saying
he
Michael
must not be
Penix.
Doing anything in scouting.
Well, again, I'm
well,
just
I mean, just because Nick said
just because I draft. Said they could draft Michael Penix, you should not be an indictment play. On Trey Lance.
Just I mean, because, I agree. Right? I'd like to see him. Give him a shot.
I saw something on Instagram.
I'm,
would be
I'm
nice.
Disappointed. I've agreed with Nick twice.
Well, let's see the ball fly through the air.
What about see? I like Fashanu because he's a left tackle. Period.
That's true, and he's one of the younger players in the draft, which it projects well. And there's a lot of I don't know if he'll be there, but yeah.
Okay. Finally, Kansas City, home of the reigning Super Bowl champs at 32. Brew, what do you like for the Chiefs?
Well, look, I mean, they can win kind of no matter what. I'll give them that. But I want to see a light show, Coach. They got a quarter. You have a Ferrari. Yeah.
You said
you have a
Ferrari.
Why are you treating him like a Toyota? All right, go get – I thought about Adonai Mitchell.
No.
Because you have a deep threat in obviously Hollywood. But you know what? Brian Thomas Jr.
He won't – if he's there, they'll take him. He won't be there.
Woo!
Yeah, no, I like him a lot,
6'5", 4'3".
I like him a lot, too, but yeah, I don't think he gets past 25. Go ahead.
So they obviously have some issues with a receiver who's on the roster, and that's got to get worked out. And then you bring in Hollywood Brown. He was targeted 101 times last year and only caught 50 balls. So we're not – So and we've seen that movie a little bit in Kansas City.
That's what they
said. Those were bad throws.
Well, but we have seen that where it's a 50% catch type thing. But let me just share one thing from a draft perspective early on. You look at relationships that people have with organizations in the media, and you try to find the people that have consistently given information that's been validated later on by decision. So that being said, if I was studying Kansas City and had to figure out who they were going to draft, I would look to people who have relationships with the organization, and I would go and say, who does he say they're going to draft? And this is a real thing. You look to find who's talking to who.
Nobody's talking.
And, well, I'm just sharing the approach. So I'm going to say, whoever Nick decides to put in the draft, that's what I'm guessing is.
You don't think it could be misinformation?
I wouldn't listen.
If it's misinformation, well, then the reporter's always like, okay. How could he do that to me? You don't have credibility. So, why would you say that?
So that, here's the deal.
Columns.
Here's the problem. Here's what Coach has it kind of right, but kind of wrong.
Exactly right.
Coach assumes
I've seen it in the building, and I've seen it on this side.
Taking information from the Chiefs front office and giving it to you guys. It might just be the other way around. Might just be that the Chiefs run off his favorite
really?
Show. You know, watch it with bated breath. So let me say this real quick for the Chiefs. They are in the perfect position because they don't have – listen, Rashee at worst is going to get four games. I think he's going to get a game or two. They don't have one flashing red light need. So
that
if a tackle
like
Guyton, Mims, or Jordan Morgan falls, they'll draft him. If for as far as the receiver goes, yes, if Michael Tom. Brian Thomas there, they'll draft him. I like Ladd McConkey as the receiver. I don't like Adonai Mitchell. I also think they could draft a cornerback if Kool-Aid's there. If he falls, you know, all the way to 32. And then, but if someone like Johnny Newton, the D-tackle from Illinois, if he's there, even though that's not a big position of need, they'll take him. They truly can go best player available
would
at
they
any
trade
spot.
Out?
And that's the other thing. If somebody wants the fifth-year option, so if Penix is there and someone's like, man, we like him and we want the fifth-year option, the Chiefs could trade out of that spot.
So anybody who needs to know what the Chiefs are doing.
No, that's not accurate.
If you want to trade into the first
I'm
round,
just telling you.
Nick said they're open for business.
It's just good business.
Don't worry about it.
It's just good business.
It's good business. He doesn't talk to anybody.
I don't.
No.
Bud List up next. Caleb on the Bud List already?
Maybe.
Live from New York, it's the show that's counting down to the draft. We are at, under 4 hours at this point. Bears almost on the clock. Second hour of First Things First today. Do the Bills owe it to Josh Allen to draft a receiver at 24 or move up higher?
Also known as the topic I've been trying to get into the show.
And we got it in.
I'm happy. I'm saying. I'm
Take
happy
it out.
About it.
You know what?
Hey, throw it away.
It's out. Meanwhile, early reports. Looks like Jaden Daniels is going to go to Commanders. Looks like Drake May is going to go to the Patriots. But can the Giants sneak in there or the Vikings and shake up the entire draft? But right now, of course, it's 4:01:34, which means it's time for the
Most motivational segment in all of sports. Also a time for us to read a little bit of viewer mail, and it's been a rough week in the post office. Let's just say that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, Ryan and Brian were misbehaving. Remember they sent that meme thing? And I'm also getting tired of the cowboy brew meme, so I decided to try to go another
Why does that make it a rough day in the post office?
Yeah.
It's just, it's a force multiplier.
Okay.
What is that? Great answer.
You're wild. Hope all is well. Love the show. Thank you. Have you considered expanding the Bud list to more than just three people? After all, Mahomes Mountain and King of the Hill is like 45 guys. Thanks, Ryan. Well, thank you, Ryan. Not really. We try to keep it at three because then once coach goes, he adds somebody. That's four, five. I put a little cap on it. So it's already six people. So the idea that it's just three people is actually just false information. So, no, we just keep it at three. Take it away, Brew.
That's it?
I told you I'm done with
Cowboy. I'm looking for something.
I'm done with Cowboy Brew. It's I used to do the bit and then the bit started to take over me. I'm like prisoner of the bit.
All right, I know something's coming
it's
later.
Nothing's but, coming.
Okay. Number three. I'm letting you know there's more than three people in here. Anthony Davis and Darvin Ham. All right, now are they at odds? I don't know. But they better get their act together in the next few hours,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is a must-win. Now, we all think the series is over.
Even Nick. Not Nick.
No, they're beating Denver four out of five times. Okay.
Maybe four straight.
Yeah, okay. But if they have any designs on winning this series, you obviously have to win it tonight. All right? And Anthony Davis, I'm looking at you because you have been fantastic. What is he averaging? 32 points, 12 and a half rebounds, 2.5 blocks. Numbers that are rivaling Jokic's. You have been fantastic, except in the fourth quarter of game two. You got to show up, man, period. And don't you left it to your 39-year-old teammate to have to carry the load while you sat there and pouted because Phil Handy and Darvin Ham didn't tell you what to do.
Right,
you
know,
should know by
true.
Now.
You kind of made that right? Not up.
And then Darvin,
Yeah, here we go.
His head is being placed, Coach, you know, on the tee. Right now, it's being placed on the tee for when they get swept so that somebody's going to be a scapegoat and it's looking like it's going to be D-Ham. Yep. So, and there's rumblings around the league that they could have interest in Ty Lue.
Well, yeah. Whose idea was that 4 years
down
ago?
All right, at number two, it is the Kraft family. Now, what's
the
this
family
picture going to look like? Oh, it's only two of them.
A nice Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, that must have been an old one. Anyway,
okay, that old.
The Kraft family. Look, the two people who are most responsible for the dynasty
are not in that picture.
Right, they're gone. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. You had a great plan, I think, but we'll see, to replace Belichick. You had a plan, at least. We got our coach in place, Gerard Mayo. Didn't seem like you had a plan for the front office, so it's kind of piecemeal right now. And there's talk that Jonathan Kraft, coach, is going to – it might be running the draft. I mean, what his qualifications are what? A Latin last name? That's about it. So, look, you got to get it right. You said you want a quarterback. Obviously, you get the right quarterback, then happy days are here again. But you better get it right because New England fans are upset. They're upset because the Dynasty documentary, right? Wow. Kevin Wiles is upset. They're upset the Dynasty documentary made Kraft kind of look bad. He tried to make Belichick look bad. It kind of made Kraft look bad because he was clearly going as coach. And then the Arthur Blank conversations where you just call him up, hey, don't trust him. Don't trust him. Don't hire him. Don't trust him. You know, so you got to get this right. Kraft family. I'm not sure I believe in them or not, but
man,
good luck. All right, at number one, Caleb Williams. It's going to be his night. This is the night. He's probably been looking forward to this night since he was, what, 8, 9 years old? I mean, this is great, all right? But Caleb, for too many guys, this is the best night of their career. When I look across the sports, NBA, NFL, a lot of times this is the best night of their career. Being drafted number one, winning the Heisman, that means nothing. All right, we got a ton. We have a long list of failures at number one or former Heisman Trophy winners. So don't rest on your laurels. I want to give you a little advice. You're going to a good situation. You got weapons around you. The bar is low, too. I think, because they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. Sid Luckman, he retired 1950, 1960, one of those. He's the last great quarterback they had. So the bar is low, but I want you to be confident yet humble. A lot of people can't walk that fine line between being confident and yet humble. And look, I'm fine. Coach is steaming over your Tom Brady. I'm chasing number 12 comments. I'm fine with it. Just don't say it a lot.
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
I mean, maybe like don't say it maybe until you win your first or maybe second Super Bowl. Then you can start talking about chasing number 12. But otherwise, I do believe in you, Caleb. Hope you have a great night tonight and a great career.
Great bud list.
Great bud list. And yeah, you're right. Caleb put himself on like the triple bud list. He's on like bud list, like secret double probation, saying that he's chasing Tom Brady. He needs to worry about chasing Patrick Mahomes first. Then we'll get to Brady.
Another good take.
But I'm going to add another. I think the Bears are on the hot seat, but the other team that's on the hot seat in the top 10 is the New York Jets. And it's Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh.
There's a lot of people on this
podcast. And here's the situation. They've got the absolute mandate that they have to win. Yeah. They've got a 40-year-old quarterback. They've got to find him weapons. They missed on the other quarterback. They finally found someone to take him off their hands, which is shocking. And when you look at the O-line situation, Joe Douglas in his introductory press conference said, hey, we're going to get this fixed. And you know what it's been? 29 offensive linemen have come through. 6 draft picks, 2 in the first round, 1 in the second round, and then 23 free agents where they spent close to between $175 and $200 million to fix the offensive line. And here we are. So you better get this right, and you better get a weapon for your quarterback, and you better make the 40-year-old quarterback work because, look, you've gotten a grace here. And I wish I knew the secret sauce that you used to get that, but you got
injury.
It.
Injury.
So you better make it work.
Now, Coach, do you think, like, their offensive line right now, I mean, I think they're going to draft some later in the draft if they go with Bowers, but do you think, like, that's not enough? They need to go ahead and get a top-tier offensive lineman in the first or second round?
I think they've been using it like, throw mud against the wall and some of it's got a stick philosophy.
Mud for
I mean, six, they've, like you said, they brought years. In a ton of people and it hadn't worked. So maybe they shouldn't draft one.
29.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they don't know what they're doing with
the Maybe we leave that alone with the group we have.
Just get some skill
players. Let's go get some dudes that can catch the ball and make plays.
This is going to be a record-breaking bud list because of the number of people that are going to end up on it.
Yeah.
What's 53 times 15?
Nobody knows.
795. I'm adding 795 people to the bud list.
I didn't know we were getting a math quiz.
It is. The entire AFC other than the Kansas City Chiefs. Because you guys see what's going on in this draft, the mock drafts, the draft talk. It almost seems like the whole AFC is pressed. Like, well, there's going to be record-setting. Could be 6 quarterbacks taking this draft. Why? Well, Denver's got to get a quarterback, and the Raiders might trade up to get a quarterback in the first round. In fact, they both need to. What are the Patriots going to do at 3? Well, they should take a quarterback, but they really need to build everything else. But why? Why is all this happening? Oh, because everyone is trying to chase Mahomes. They can't be satisfied with mediocre at quarterback or good enough because they know just to get invited to the Arrowhead Invitational, they're going to have great at quarterback. What about the teams who have been to the Arrowhead Invitational? How's it going for them? Well, Cincinnati took their shot, went all in on last season, and now both of their THs are quite angry with them, Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins, because they don't have the money for him. I know it's odd how that worked out, the little initials thing. The Buffalo Bills thought they were having their moment. They, of course, didn't, because they were pressed by the Chiefs. Now Stephon Diggs is out. Now we approach a draft where the whole world knows they have to go wide receiver. The only teams that aren't pressed in the AFC, the Chargers fired their coach. The Chargers, what are they going to do? Kevin Wiles wants them to trade Justin Herbert because he doesn't think he's good enough. They don't even have a top 10 quarterback. The only teams that aren't pressed are the young ones, like Houston, because they have not yet gotten really in the arena with Kansas City. So today is the day where all these teams for at least a few hours will have hope that now we've done it, now we'll be able to compete, now we're building the team when we know what the real answer is. So all 15 AFC teams not named Kansas City are
underdogs. Baltimore doesn't seem that fresh.
Really? They lost their defensive coordinator, no matter coach, they lost him?
Run.
I've got a question on the Bud List because we only have a few short seconds because the Bud List was way too long. I'm putting the Giants on the Bud List, and my question is from our friend Bill Barnwell, coach, and you can answer this one. The Giants giving Daniel Jones $81 million guaranteed and drafting his successor 13 months later is both nuts and the right thing to do? Question mark. Now, I kind of like Daniel Jones, I guess, because I was hanging out with Greg Jennings too much. Is he a top 10 QB? No, but do I think he's gotten a totally fair shot with the weapons that they've got? And
is he better than Herbert?
He's got a playoff win.
Is he better than Justin Herbert?
Yeah, but that Vikings defense.
So, Coach, what do you want to do with what should the Giants do? Get weapons or get rid of Daniel Jones?
I would, at this point, with what they've spent, I think you go and get weapons. You try to get better as a team as opposed to, I mean, there's a group of quarterbacks that seem like you don't know whether they're going to hit or not hit. Right. Unless you absolutely believe this guy that you're bringing in is better, then go make the rest of the team better. Trade back, get some depth.
Oh, trade back.
Yeah, trade back, get more depth.
They could be the team receiver. That trades with the
They have more than one hole to fill in New York, and focus on that.
Coming up next, it's the story that Nick wanted us to do for 3 weeks.
That's a good one.
Finally, thank you. We jammed it in the F block. Josh Allen saw his favorite target go to the Texans, so now Jeremy Fowler is reporting that the Bills are, quote, scouring the earth. Seems extreme. You're down in the Maldives. Like, you're not scouring.
The Chiefs got a rugby player, so hey.
That's true. He's going to be great. We don't even talk about him.
I don't know if he'll make the team. We'll
he's going to make the team. He's got an international slot.
He's really good.
Well, that's for the practice squad. I don't know if he'll make the team. Doesn't matter.
They're pretty fast.
They're opening up an academy in Australia. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Do the Bills owe it to Josh Allen to draft a wide receiver? Nick, better be good on this.
This is why it was incumbent on Josh and McDermott to salvage the situation with Diggs. Because you obviously got nothing back for Diggs this year, and you got minimal draft compensation back for him. And now you are in the position no one wants to be in, where the whole world knows what you have to do in the first round of the draft, which means teams can leapfrog you if they want a receiver. They know that. It's not like the Bills have no needs outside of receiver, that if a great player is at, you know what I mean, you would like to be able to take best player available. I don't think they can. And if I were a Bills fan, which thankfully I am not, I would be worried about is that they are going to press, which is, we need a receiver so badly, we are going to trade up. We are going to mortgage future draft capital in order to make sure Brian Thomas is a Buffalo Bill or something like that. I don't think it's realistic that they trade up to be able to get a Dunze in the top 10. Right. Like, it's just that next year of guys. Or you reach and you end up drafting a guy who should have gone 40th at 28th because it's such a massive need. But while the national media doesn't realize that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes don't have a lot of similarities, the Bills know it. So they know they can't ask Josh Allen to do what Patrick's done the last 2 years. He needs to have a legitimate wide receiving option. So, yeah, they've got to draft one, and it's a terrible spot to be in. A terrible spot.
Well, the draft is fairly deep at receiver.
Right.
It looks like there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks and offensive linemen going early. So I don't know if you're going to have to reach to get a quality guy where they are. And it's one of those situations where the Bills don't owe it to Josh Allen to do this. So at this point now, Josh Allen is paid, what, $250 million, a little over $250 million.
Good
you're money. In on the Stephon Diggs going, leaving the team. Like, that's not a decision that the administration just made without bringing you into the mix. So you're part of that
But
discussion.
You feel like he could have thrown his body in front of that?
Yeah,
and stopped
absolutely. Absolutely.
But Diggs was probably getting on everybody's
mind. I'm sure it was a case where it's like, all right, we're going to move on, and I'm in on that. But when you make that decision, you got to help make that decision right. So let's throw less than 18 interceptions. Let's live up to our $258 million that you've been given. Let's justify moving on from Stephon Diggs, and let's make the best decision from an organizational standpoint on which player to bring in. And if you got to play with some guys that aren't necessarily as good, That's your role. That's your job. That's what you're paid very well to do.
Well, I do think that's how they're looking at it. I think Josh and the offensive, you know, coaches are probably looking at it like, when we had Diggs, the last, what, five-game winning streak, he was averaging 40 yards a game, you know? So I think I don't agree with that. I think that's obviously what happened, and they honed in on the running game, and Josh Allen didn't throw as much. But I do, Coach, I do think they owe it to him to go get a receiver because he's not Mahomes. Like, other than Mahomes, what guy does it without a top receiver? Burrow's got
nobody.
Top receivers.
The answer's
right?
Nobody.
Dak has a top receiver. Jalen's got top receivers. Like,
I
mean, if you
has Kelce. I know if we just open up to pass catchers, he has
okay,
a top
so then if you include
catcher.
Mahomes,
yeah,
then you definitely
tight end.
Now he does. I will say I think Josh has two good tight ends.
I agree.
And they're gonna lean into the 12 personnel. Mm-hmm. But I still look, Shakir, I like, but I certainly don't think he's a number one. Mm-hmm. He's not a definite number one. So go get a receiver. And I think, Nick, I'm agree with Coach. I think it's deep enough. And with all the quarterbacks and the offensive linemen that will be going, somebody's going to be there.
No,
there are mocks that have Thomas available late in the draft.
So that would shock me personally, but maybe he will be. So here's my opinion on this year's wide receiver draft. I think you have three studs and then a bunch of guys – who would be awesome round two picks. So I think from Brian Thomas to Adonai Mitchell to Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Purcell, Troy Franklin, Jalen Polk, all those guys, I wouldn't love really any of them except for maybe Brian Thomas in the top 30. But they all make a ton of sense, you know what I mean, in the second round. And so that's why I think this is a rough spot for Buffalo. Because I think that they are going to feel like their hand is forced. They're going to feel like for instance, even before the Rashee Rice incident happened, and again, I don't think Rashee is looking at, I know Florio is opening the door to like, are the Chiefs going to cut him? I think at worst, Rashee Rice is out a month, but set that aside. I think one of the reasons the Chiefs signed Hollywood Brown is so they would have truly be able to go best player available, essentially at non-quarterback.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I just think the Bills are not in that spot. I think that trading Diggs.
Yeah, I think Kansas City, like getting a guy who catches 50% of the balls, I think that's,
locks
him in.
You can say that, but Hollywood Brown
I'm not making it up.
No,
it's what it was.
Right, well, but so having getting 100 targets and 50 catches, those numbers are very.
Well, his success rate was 42%, so it was lower than his catch rate.
Right. So. So if you think that that's going to be what Hollywood Brown's production is for the Chiefs next year, that's fine. And if we want to discuss whether or not the Chiefs have a good enough wide receiver core to win a Super Bowl for a third straight year, it'll be great, and they can win a third straight Super Bowl.
Well,
my point is, I don't think the Chiefs go into this draft with one glaring need, and I think Buffalo clearly does.
Okay. Coming up next, everybody's favorite segment, including Brew. It's actually his favorite segment.
Well,
the only reason we do it.
I shine.
Last night, Tatum.
We were doing Celtics highlights.
Fine. 28-8-3.
Yeah. They're two big guns actually put up numbers.
Bronze medal.
Scared.
Celtic killer, Caleb Martin.
He's good.
21 points, 5 threes. Celtics left them open. He says, no problem. I'm playing my best ball a year, 2 weeks a year against you guys. Silver medal, Shea, 33-5 in a pretty dominating win start to finish for the Thunder over the Pels. And then a gold, Tyler Hero, 24-5, 14 assists, some great defense.
Good.
There's the podium from last night in the association.
Now it's everybody's favorite part of the show. It's time now to lift the ban on puns. And participate somewhat unwillingly in a closing segment that honestly only Brew likes because, as he said in the meeting, quote, you guys just don't have the goods.
Wilds, what do they call me?
Mr. Consistency, of course.
Well, that might change after tonight.
Why?
Mr. Accuracy. FS1 worried. Post may get NFL front office offers after people see what this mock draft looks
you
like.
You really want... You're going to be
you
keeping
won the
score.
Team.
You have other guys' mocks?
Yeah.
I knew you did.
Of course I do. That's why I had
does.
To update 4.1 Wilds to New York.
Okay, mine. Foregone conclusion. Caleb to Chicago, and Denver wins their 11th straight over the Lakers.
Mine is dedicated to you, Wiles. I want to put a smile on your face. So here we go. Struggles may be over.
Not
wow.
Bad.
Drake ready to put Pats back on the map.
We were never off the map. The, oh, you're
you way off the
way
map.
Off the map.
But I'm helping you out.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We're never off the
good.
Map.
Pretty
good. And now
he sits 1 year behind Jacoby.
Yeah.
And then he's ready.
Six games.
Yeah. A guy who learned
eight
under
games. A season.
At the same place as the great Mitch Trubisky and Sam Howell. How did it go wrong?
Enjoy the drink.